Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hi, friend, and welcome to the Fruitful Podcast, where we share stories of faith, family, and fruitfulness. I'm Sherry Lynn Roodman, or in English, Sherry Lynn Roodman, and this podcast is something really special to me. Every episode features my mom, Lynette Steyn-Lorenz, and these are her original radio interviews, especially for Just Gospel Radio. And these are heartfelt conversations filled with wisdom, hope, and reminders that faith is found in the everyday. I wanted to share them here so they could keep encouraging hearts in new seasons and new spaces. Let's listen together to one of my mom's original conversations that still speaks so deeply today.
Listeners, you may think, what a topic, arrows in my quiver. Are we talking archery or what are we talking today? Yes. But this just caught me as I listened to a sermon that a preacher from Free State actually gave. And then I thought, no, this I must share with the listeners because it means so much to me. And when we talk about arrows in the quiver, the world thinks uses it as a metaphor for that means you have a variety of options available for what you want to do. So all the arrows in the quiver is the container that holds the arrows. Those of you don't know archery terms. So if you want to do something, the bow is the something you want to do it with, and the arrows is the different ways that you can do it. But in a Christian context, there's a different meaning, as the Word of God used this expression in a different setup. And as we have focused on families in the past few weeks, I'm going to do that again. And my reading today comes from Psalm 127. And this psalm was written by Salomo. Salomo, how do you pronounce it in English?
Solomon.
Yes. Thank you. By Solomon, and we know that Solomon was seen as a very, very wise man. So pay attention, listeners. He was very wise. So let's listen to what Solomon said. He said, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." So that is Psalm 127, written by Solomon. So today I want to talk to you about the arrows in the quiver. So quiver is not a name frequently used in these days anymore. Olden days when they used a bow and an arrow for protection of themselves and war and fighting and so on, it was a term used frequently and a term known well. But those of you that do archery as a sport will know what I'm talking about. But it, like I said, it's the container that holds the arrows. And I'm going to explain it just now, but we actually say that it's the children that God has given you. And my husband said that we received our arrows, seven arrows in our quiver, and we had to launch them. And then with COVID, everybody came back and stayed with us. So we were illegal gathering in our house. We were more than 10 in our house, but that was all family. Sure. And so we got our arrows back in our quiver. And after the total level 5 lockdown, we could launch them again. What a privilege. So in Solomon's Psalm, the first few lines of the Psalm refers to the house or the family life. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. If we are doing something, building, studying, growing, working, whatever you are doing, you need to allow God to be part of your labor, or it will be in vain. If we look at the context of this psalm, Solomon is talking to a family. It means that God, if God is not part of the house we are building, of our family, we, the builders, the family, labor in vain. Solomon knew that God is in the building of the temple. He built the temple for God, so he knew that God was in the building of the temple, and then the temple was blessed. And here he is projecting what he has seen with the building of the temple onto a family. He is emphasizing that God needs to be involved in building a family for the family to be blessed by God. So Psalm 127 verse 1 and the second part of that B, Solomon uses a second comparison. He says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In those days, the city was usually built on a height with fortified walls, and the walls were there were guards that patrolled to keep watch for the enemy. So Solomon says it is for no use, it is in vain to put a guard on the wall of the city to keep watch if God is not keeping watch with the guard over the city. So in both of these examples, he emphasizes that God needs to be involved, but he doesn't say that the parent is not involved. So you can't just leave everything in the hands of God. It says that the builder and the guard need to do their tasks with God. So it's a partnership between the parent
and God.
Yes. So Solomon used three metaphors in this psalm. First, the house that is built. Then secondly, the city that needs to be protected, that needs to be guarded. And then the last part of the psalm speaks about the arrows in the quiver. One of the explanations that was done by a guy named Boyce of this psalm says, you would ask, why is the house being built if it's not for the family? And why are the watchmen protecting the city if it's not for families that live in it? Then and now, the family was the basic unit and most important element of society. So what is a family? A family is the unit of the society, a unit of society. This unit of a collection of, or a collection of these units, form up the society. So it's like a few small dots make a bigger dot. So the small ones is the units of the family, and a lot of them together makes the society, or as we usually speak about it, the community.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a small unit consists of usually, and hopefully like God designed it, a father and a mother who is the parents of the unit. And then the state of the society or the community is determined by the condition of the units that makes up the community. So that is actually logic. If you make up something, if you build a house and you build it with bricks that's not up to standard, your house is going to
collapse.
Be not up to standard. It's going to collapse. Unit is made up of, or society or community is made out of units, that's the family. And if the families aren't strong, your society or community will fall apart. So if we read the Bible, we cannot ignore the high value God places on the home and the family. We can get different examples. My time is limited, but there's different examples in the Bible, the Word of God, that shows us this. But for instance, Joshua declared that he and his household will follow the Lord. When Paul, in Acts 16, when Paul was in jail and the jail cells opened and the jailer was afraid and he didn't know what was going on, he shouted and he asked what he should do. And Paul answered him and said, "Do not do harm to yourself. We are all still here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved like you?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household."
Sure.
So the Lord wants the whole household, not just the father, not just the mother, to be saved. And I'm going to talk later on. I showed Malefa a little peek into what I feel I need to talk about next week. But it is important that the whole household is structured in such a way and run in such a way that the kids get to know the Lord.
Yes.
So that they will stay with the Lord if they leave the house one day. So the whole household need to be saved. Today, you as a father or a mother should realize the enormous responsibility God placed in your hands when He entrusted children in your hands to raise. And just a little footnote here. You can't think of yourself not worthy. God created human in His image. Mm-hmm. So I think the most precious creation God made was humans,
sure.
Men, because He made us in His image. So if a new child is born, it's another precious creation of God made in His image.
Mm-hmm.
And God do not think less of you or think you are not worthy. If He thinks you are worthy enough to raise one of His most precious creations. So you are very precious and worthy to God. And He entrusted you with this enormous responsibility of raising children for Him.
Mm-hmm.
He placed that child in your quiver to raise for Him. If the family unit falls apart, the community falls apart. It was God's plan from Genesis, from the beginning, when He created Adam to make him a helper, Eve. And in Genesis 2:28, He says, "Be fruitful, increase in number." So become families, increase in number, and fill the earth and subdue it. That was God's plan. A man, a wife, children equals family. That's the nucleus around which a society, a community will revolve. God's work starts with man. His wife and his children, the family. It didn't start in a church or school or workplace. It started with a family.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan, the enemy, knows this. He will do everything he can to destroy what God created.
Mm-hmm.
That is why Satan is out to destroy marriages and ultimately families, because they are an institution created by God. And this is also why we should get married and not just live together. Because marriage is an institution by God to protect families, to keep families stable, and to protect the children that's born out of families. But Satan came with his clever lies and his plans to destroy that. And we actually allow him because we break the guidelines God gave us in His Word. And we expect that brokenness will not come out of that. So we break the guidelines, but we expect it to stay whole. That do not account. That does not make sense.
It doesn't.
So if we break the guidelines that God gave us, by which a family should be managed, we must actually expect brokenness in families.
Mm.
Then we cannot complain about a broke society or community if we break the units that make up that community.
Hmm.
The most valuable asset you have is your family. Not your work, not your career, not your bank account. The family is important. Satan wants to achieve brokenness by estranging families from each other, parents from each other, children from parents, and brokenness between children so that they don't see eye to eye anymore, so that he can weaken the unit of which a community is made up. Solomon comes in his psalm in the third metaphor, and he uses the arrows in the quiver, and he talks about the warrior, who is the father, that has a bow and a quiver and arrows. The quiver holds the arrows, and Solomon says the arrows in the quiver is the children of the family. Blessed are the man and the woman who have arrows in the quiver. Mm-hmm. God has blessed you with arrows in your quiver. The arrows in the quiver is the children, and they have to have certain qualities to be launched against the enemy safely. So let's look at that. The children.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Children are formed and brought up in partnership with God to be able to protect the unit, the family of which the community is made up. So to be able to protect the families and the household that is built with God. The bow is manufactured to pull back and aim at a target, that it will hit the target. So the further and the stronger you pull back, the further the arrow will sail through the air and the more accurate it will hit the target. The arrow will hit the target which the bow aims at, if you construct it properly. Where does the arrow or the warrior pull his bow back to? He pulls it back to the partnership between parent and God. If God does not build the house, the labor is in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city and guards the family, stand watch with them, the labor is in vain. The first place the warrior pulls back the bow to is the values of the quiver. What values should be installed in the arrow, the child, by the parent-God partnership? The first one is, teach your child the salvation of God. Teach him what salvation is and how he or she will obtain eternal life. Will going to church and doing good things bring them eternal life? No. They are good things, but only when you made the personal surrender to God will you receive eternal life. When you believe God gave his only son to die for you, for your sins, and on the third day he was resurrected by God, you will receive eternal life. Your children should know this and understand this. You can teach them this, but it is only when they grasp it and they make it their own and they surrender to God that they can be saved. Only by washing you clean by Jesus' blood on the cross can you be saved from condemnation. Only by his grace can you receive new life, and can there come a total change in you. Can you become a new creation in Christ? Can you leave a sinful life behind and start a new life holy? So the quiver should teach the arrows that salvation is only from God. They can give them the guidelines, but the arrow should make that total surrender themselves. It's a personal thing between you and God. Your parent can't make that decision for you. You need to make it yourself. So the second thing that the parent-God partnership should teach the arrow is teach your child dedication. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. This, start your children or train your children in the original language. The original language says it's Chanak, and that indicates two important aspects. First one is train up or initiate. Mm-hmm. And that signifies a dedication that is often used for the consecrating of anything, a house, a person, or anything to the service of God. So you need to, therefore, dedicate your child to God and nurse, teach, discipline them as God's child who He has entrusted to your care. That's according to Dr. Alan Clark. And that brings me back to God put the arrow in your quiver, and you have to shoot the arrow or launch the arrow away from the quiver again one day.
Sure.
It's not yours to hold on to. Mm. So teach your child to be dedicated to God. How? By being an example of someone who is dedicated to God. A child learns from example. We've said so many times, they copy and paste.
Yes.
You can say what you want, but they will do what you are doing. Do your child know dedication? Do they see dedication from you?
Hmm.
Do you model dedication to them? Why is dedication important? Because one day, when your child is the head of their own home, or they stand in their own house as a mother, they must be able to show their child that if the hardships come, you do not run. You stay dedicated. Once when mom and dad's not there anymore to look over their shoulder, they still stay dedicated. Then the third one that you need to teach your child is definitely family values.
Yes.
We reap what we sow. And because we allow society and the world to determine our values, we reap the chaotic fruit of it. We need to let God and His Word determine our values. Teach your children that we as Christians are in this world, but not from this world. We are different from the people in this world. Not because we are better than them, but because we choose to be different.
Mm.
We choose different values. We choose not to swear, lie, steal, destroy. We choose to live towards a holy life. Look towards God for guidance. Stop calling wrong right and right wrong. Choose values for your family. Discuss them often in family meetings. Live them practically so your children can see how to use them. Model them to your children. Choose godly family traditions. Practice those. For example, affirmation of young ones. Make something special about that. We've done that when our children turned 13, 21, when they got their matric results.
Mm.
We affirmed them by a significant ritual or something special that we did so that they can remember.
Yes.
So affirm the young ones. Make it a family tradition or a Thanksgiving. Sit around the table and everybody say what they are thankful for, even if it's a small thing. Or maybe on Mother's Day, everybody gets a chance to say, but why they are thankful that God gave them this mother.
Yes.
Be creative. Think about family traditions, godly family traditions, because these are things that binds a family together. We chose family values, and that's displayed in our living room for all to see. And we frequently have discussions around them, especially if visitors ask them, because one of our family values is vitality. They ask, but what do you mean by that? And that's an open door to start ministering to other people.
Wow.
So choose family values. The next one that you should teach the child is to teach the child to fear the Lord. Mm. Psalm 128, just the following psalm, verse 1 and 4. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. Your child needs to see that you and your wife, or you and your husband, if you are the wife, have respect and honor for the Lord. Fear doesn't mean you sit in the corner and shake because you are scared. Fear of the Lord means that you honor God and respect Him. You have a deference for Him. So you see Him as somebody. I think of it in this way. The way that you will act when the prince or the king of England come to visit your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you should act in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord is always with us. So actually, you should always be so well-mannered.
From the minute you wake up in the morning, even with that morning groggy voice.
Yep. And those of you that's doing sleepwalking, behave yourself while sleepwalking as well, because the Lord is still with you.
Yes.
Teach your child that although God is your friend and your father, you have awe and respect for Him.
Mm.
Then the last one that I want to mention here is teach your child that he and or she is part of a family, and that is where they belong and are accepted. Now, the clever people that write all the psychological books and so on, they say the primary need for a man or person is that they want to belong. Mm. They want to belong somewhere.
Sure.
If your child can't belong in your family, where will they belong? So teach your child they are part of a physical family. And then after that, they are part of a church family. They need to be part of a group of people where they can serve God and others. And before we started the session, Malef and I just quickly spoke about that. So I'll share that with you in forthcoming sessions.
Yes.
We are made to serve and to bring others to Christ. Your child needs to be part of the body of Christ. A place where they learn to care for others, and where others can care for them when they need it. A place where people pray for each other. From very young, they should learn that they have to make a difference in the world and work for the kingdom of Christ. Malachi 4 verse 6, He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Today is the day to reevaluate how you, as a parent, are doing with the arrows in your quiver. Are you in partnership with God to build your house, to guard your house, and to raise your arrows to protect your house, your family, your community? Are you preparing your arrows to hit the correct target when you pull the bow back and launch them into the world? These are questions that only you can answer. But the answer may change the life of your child, your family, and your community.
Mm. Yo. And you know, Lynn, it is so true in terms of you having the answer. And sometimes you want to hold on to kids when you raise them. I don't want them to leave home. That you forget. You raise them to kick them out of the nest. Well, yeah, not really kick them out, but it's the same principle.
They must be able to stand on their own feet one day. So
yes,
we need to raise, in Afrikaans the word is weerbare, but I don't know what the English word is, but kids that can stand by themselves.
Independent.
Independent, make decisions by themselves.
Yes.
And stand with those decisions. And know where to go if they need advice or resources. They know where to go.
Hmm.
And when our daughter moved to Canada, it was kind of, don't go, just stay here where I can be part of your life, yes, and still, you know, speak into your life. And then I realized, God loves her more than I do.
Mm.
And he only borrowed her to me.
Sure.
It was a temporary thing.
Mm.
I need to be able to launch my arrow. And if it hits Canada, it hits Canada. I can't stop it. I did my part.
Mm.
I invested what I needed to. Now she needs to do it with her family. And
sure.
Then off she went. And we have to accept it, yeah.
And now you're grateful. Even though you were frantic, you're grateful.
Keeps a parent on their knees. You keep on praying. Even though you're not there, you keep on praying. Partnership between the parent and God.
Yeah. But do parents ever stop praying for their kids? I don't think so.
No. My mom is 87. My dad's 87. They still pray for their children every day.
Sure.
I don't think so.
So it's a lifelong partnership, essentially.
It's a lifelong partnership, yeah. Correct.
Yo, what a beautiful one. Yo, Lynette!
Thanks for listening to The Fruitful Podcast, originally produced for Just Gospel Radio, used with permission. You can find more at fruitfulfig.ca/links or support the work at buymeacoffee.com/fruitfulfig. And remember, every fig has a season. Crazy, crazy, no, no.